Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and I should only preach from Jeremiah because all I do is cry. But I'm not going to. I'm going to preach from Gideon. I'm going to cry, but I ain't going to. I'm going to talk to you from Judges and Matthew. And the second thing is, I would be remiss if I didn't. I know what's already been said about John given, but we prayed for him. And the doctors had the shovels out for that man. They called the family together and said, come up and see him because it's over. John's going home. And we prayed. We prayed. And he's here in church. I was at work. It was about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday. I was at work, and I work at Fitzgerald's, as you know. And I work the scale, and I've got a computer in front of me and customers in front of me, and Saturdays are jammed up. And people are coming up to me, and the Spirit of God come on me. And I had to back off the scale, and I went, what in the world's going on? And I started praying in tongues. I said, oh, my God. I said, John's going to be all right. John's going to be okay. Right in the middle of work, Spirit of God come on me, and bam. And I told Beth about it, and she said Wendy had the same experience at the same time. The Spirit of God just hit us both, and we knew John was going to be okay. If you want to keep things the same and you want to keep going through what you're going through, don't pray. And don't ask the church to pray. But if you want to change things and you want a difference in your life, get people praying for you and you yourself pray and get a change. So, anyway, getting back to where I should be. Okay, who wants to go home early today? The kids will be happy today. Dennis is preaching. We'll go home early. Well, I'm going to be a little longer than I usually am, but not as long as some people. So, Psalm 44, 20 and 21 says, I'm going to read two verses. If we had forgotten the name of the Lord or extended our hand to a strange God, would not God find out? And the writer Tolstoy, who lived in the 1800s, said, the modern world has temporarily lost God and without him cannot live. And that was in the 1800s. But the same things took place in Gideon's time. And the history of man is always forgetting God and having to move on and move on and trying to find God again. And that's the history of mankind. But I'm going to give you, and I'm going to date myself with this expression, a dime store version of Judges and what happened there. And how many people remember dime stores? There used to be stores where you could go in and they had 5 cents and 10 cent on their marquee outside where you could go in and get things for nickels and dimes and actual things for nickels and dimes. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, that's for sure. So, you had Moses, and Moses led the people out of Egypt, and then Moses led them to the promised land, and then Joshua took over from Moses, and he led them for a period of conquest where they conquered the holy lands and the promised lands that God gave them. And then he died, and then God started working through Judges, and Judges is not a good word for what these people actually were. These people were just heroes that God rose up from nowhere, and he put his Spirit upon them, and he would lead Israel for a time, sometimes 10 years, sometimes 30 years, and he would lead them in righteousness and the things of God, and then he would take them, and they'd straighten their lives out for that period of time, and then they'd fall back again into apostasy and just do the wrong things again, and then God raised up another judge. And so the book of Judges is a whole series of these, and Gideon is one of them. And it says in the book of Judges in chapter 17 that every every man did what he thought was right in his own mind. And that's what they did. They didn't do what God wanted. They didn't do what the book said. They just did what they thought was right. So one person thought this was right, and another person thought that was right, and they would just do it. They'd go back and forth and just do it. And so God had to straighten all that out. So that brings us to Gideon. Gideon is one of the judges. And in chapter 6 of the book of Judges, it says, "Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midians for 7 years. So God turned them over to their enemies for 7 years to chastise them, to draw them to their knees, to make them do what they should do and act the way they should act and not be the way they were, but to make them act the way they should be." And so then in verse 6 it says, "So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord." So they cried out to God. They were in a period of desperation where they had to cry out. They had to have a change because they couldn't live under the yoke that the Midians were putting on them. And what happened was they'd raise up crops, and the Midians would come in and tear them all out and all that. My wife loves movie references, but I doubt if she ever saw this one. But if you remember the Magnificent Seven with Yul Brynner, where this poor Mexican town was there, and the raiders would come in, and they'd take everything, and then they'd go back into the mountains, and the raiders would come. Same thing would happen. So they would do that. So then in verse 11 here, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizite, as the son Gideon was beating out the wheat in a wine press in order to save it from the Midians." So he's trying to get his harvest in, and he's beating the wheat, and he's trying to get it so he can get it and get it hid before the Midians come through and steal it from him. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.'" Okay? Now Gideon hears this, and he goes, "What? What warrior? Where? What?" Gideon says, "You aren't talking to me, you know." And then Gideon goes through a whole series of things. We'll look at some of these in a second. But Gideon says, "Warrior, what's this?" You know, he's saying that in his heart. He doesn't have any idea what's going on with this thing. So in verse 13 it says, "Then Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are his miracles, which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of the Midians.'" And we do that. See, this is it, history is just repetitive. It's over and over. And we get into trouble and we say, "Where's God? Where's God?" God's there all the time. It's us in situations and the nation that wander, and our hearts wander, and we get in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we're not where we should be. And it's just over and over. We just keep doing the same things like that. And so I'm going to jump down to verse 23, chapter 6. So the angel tells Gideon he's got to do all this stuff, and he's going to do all this stuff. And the Lord said to him, "Peace is with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named the Lord his peace. And to this day, it is still there in Ophrah. So Gideon, he had to talk to Gideon and try and talk him into doing this thing and moving and being the judge and being the hero that Israel needed at the time. "Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and a second bull and 7 years older and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut it down, the Asherites that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of it, this strong in orderly matter, and take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering, which the wood of the Asherah, where you will cut it down.' Then Gideon took 10 men and his servants and did the Lord has spoken to him, and came about because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, that he did it by night." See, so he's not this stand-up guy that's going to go into this thing. He's scared to death, and he does it at night. He sneaks around and kills his father's two bulls and does this thing. And so, you know, these people in the Bible, they're human. They're just like us. They're intimidated. They're timid. They're scared of what's going on. And just like us. So he does this stuff, and then they get up in the morning, and they look at it and say, who did all this? And somebody says, Gideon did it. So I'm going to move down to verse 34 for our purposes. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abizrites were called together to follow him, and he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they also were called together to follow him, and he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came to meet up with him. So he gathered together his army, and then they go on to conquest and all this stuff. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, the way the words are put together in the Bible, in the Old Testament, or in this instance in the King James, it says that the Spirit of the Lord clothed him. It came and clothed him. So the Spirit of God came upon him and clothed him. And so the Spirit was there, just like it came upon me when I was at work that day, and came upon Wendy when we were praying, and we're praying for John, and the Spirit of God just come upon us. And it just comes upon you and wraps around you, and you can feel it. And it's like, oh, what is this? And it's like heaven. It's like heaven on earth. And it's just, oh. But the Spirit clothed him. So Gideon was a suit of clothes that the Spirit of God put on that day to do what he had to do for the purposes of God. And that's what should happen to us. We should be in a position where God can put us on like a suit of clothes, and we walk the thing out that he once walked out, and we can do it. And we should be there and do those things. But Gideon was scared to death, but he still walked it out, and he accomplished the things that God wanted him to accomplish. Now I want to jump up to Matthew 14. So you had an Old Testament, I'm going to give you a New Testament, and then I'm going to give you today. Matthew 14. And the kids will be happy because we'll go home early. Matthew 14:13. Now when Jesus heard it, he withdrew from them in a boat to a lonely place by himself. Where the multitude heard of this, they followed him on foot from all the cities. And when he went ashore, he saw a great multitude and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, in this desolate place and the time is already past, so send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. So these people followed Jesus. He went by boat to this far place, and they were just so enamored with what Jesus was doing and saying. They went around the shore, and they met him on the other side. And it's getting late, and he preached to them, and he's praying for them, and he's healing them up. And then the disciples say, it's getting late. You send them home. You send them away. And send them away. And how many times are people a bother to us? Yeah. And how many times do people call and tell us their story and we're half listening and half not listening? And how many times do people call us on the phone and we say, I don't want to answer that because they're going to ask me for something? Or how many times do we ignore the phone call entirely and don't answer it? And we're just like the disciples say, send them away. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered. Somebody recently said that Dennis is really hitting this stuff hard anymore with the altar calls and stuff, and it's on purpose. When I stand before the Lord, he's not going to say, Dennis, you were lukewarm. You were lukewarm. And he's not going to spit me out of his mouth. That ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And when I had that dream about the Lord coming back, and he said, I can't come back right now because too many in the church would be left behind. I don't want anybody left behind. I don't. I don't want it to be my fault. I want everybody to be there. I want everybody to be there to answer the call. But our hearts got to be right. And when people are a bother to us, let us be bothered. People are bothered to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm as human as the next one. Somebody will call and I'll say, oh. And my wife will say, are you going to call him back? I go, yeah, I'm going to call him back. You know, and I call him back. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not, oh boy, this, you know. But I walk through it. Got to walk through it. And then we listen to him and then we say, well, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And we hang up the phone. But we don't pray for him. And Jesus says, you feed him. He didn't say, I'll feed him later. He said, you feed him. We're supposed to feed him. We're supposed to feed him. This Saturday at work, some lady came up in her 60s, late 60s. She was bothered. I said, what's wrong? She says, my arthritis is just so bad. And I said, let me pray for you. And I got a line of people, and I make them wait. I put my hands on her. I pray for them right then and there. I pray for her. She said, thank you. You know, they're taken back at first. I'm not going to tell you. They say, oh, boy. They go, what, you want what? I said, I want to pray for you. I want to put hands on you. I'm going to pray for you about your arthritis. I pray for them. I just pray for them. I feed them. I feed them. Or then they call and they say they have troubles. And we may or may not help them. We may or may not listen or, you know. But Jesus says, feed them. Feed them. Be bothered. Be bothered by other people's lives. You do what you can. In the book of Matthew to this point, Jesus' sermon, this is what Jesus did in the book of Matthew up to this point, up to chapter 14. Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount. He cleansed the leper. He healed the centurion's servant. He healed Peter's mother-in-law so she could get up and cook. He cast out demons. He healed a paralytic. He raised a girl from the dead. And he's teaching them as he's going along. He's teaching them that they're supposed to be doing these things. And that's why he said, you do this. He also, in a previous chapter before this, he sent out the 12 to do their mission work. He said, go out two by two and do your mission work. He sent the 12 out. And he says, you feed them. And they go, no, send them away. Send them away. They're a bother. But this thing is all about people. It's not about money. It's not about motorcycles. It's not about boats. This thing's about people. That's what it's about. And that's what we have to be worried about. Jesus said, feed them. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, one verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. For us, what does that mean for us? It means that there's three things in the Christian walk that you can't go near and you can't do. You got to stay away from it. Because we have to be steadfast, immovable, and always doing the Lord's work. Number one is we can't elevate ourselves. When the apostles went out and they did their work and they came back and said, man, we cast out demons and everything. He said, hey, don't get heady. I seen Satan fall. I seen Satan. Anybody can fall. Anybody can fall. Don't get heady. Keep yourself. It ain't you. It's God. It wasn't Gideon. It was that he got clothed with the Spirit of God on him. It wasn't that when Jesus fed the people with the basket, and he fed the people, and this kid that day, his mom gave him some fish and some bread, and they get together, and then Jesus says, bring the baskets here. Bring the baskets here. And Jesus blesses this thing. Then he feeds the multitude. It wasn't the kid. It wasn't the basket. It wasn't the mother. But they had to be there for Jesus to bless it, for it to work out. We got to be there. We got to bring whatever fish and loaves we got. We got to bring our basket to the table with him so he can mess with it. He's got to mess with our stuff. So we can't be elevated. We're an empty basket till Jesus blesses us. Gideon was empty. The second thing is we have to be immovable. We can't be depressed. We can't be defeated. We can't say, this is horrible. I can't go on. We have to pick ourselves up, and we got to keep going. We got to keep walking. We have to be immovable. We have to be. We're called to be. The Word calls us to be. If you're not strong enough on your own, call a church member. Get them to help you. If you're down and sick, let the church pray for you. But don't give up. Do not give up. Don't go to depression. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't go there. And the third thing is, it says to be abounding, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't be a pew sitter. Don't just come to church Sunday. Don't do that. Minister to your neighbors. Cut their grass for them. Bring them a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea when it's hot. And just talk to them. Listen to them. Answer the phone when you don't want to. Call people back. Don't be a pew sitter. Make this thing real. Do something with it. So what's that mean today for all us? We look at the Old Testament, look at the New Testament. In America today, every major denomination except the Assemblies of God has declining enrollment in their churches. Everyone except Assemblies of God, the Baptists, the Methodists. You see all the Methodist churches closing up everywhere. And the Methodist churches were everywhere. They started in the 1800s with the circuit riders, and when the guys, when Cokesbury and the other guy that met up there at Asbury Church, and they wrote back to John Wesley and said, "What do we do about a seminary?" He said, "What seminary?" He said, "Find a man with a fire of God in his belly and give him a Bible and a horse and send him out." And that's what happened. That's where all these churches came from. All the Methodist churches came from a guy with fire in his belly, and they gave him a Bible on a horse and said, "Get out there. Go do it." And they did it. And now we've let them die. They're dying on the vine. The Southern Baptists had the lowest number of baptisms last year that they had in 64 years. There's more people in this country than there's ever been, and they had the lowest number of baptisms in this country in 64 years. It's a shame. What's going on in the world? Christianity's exploding. There's more Muslims have become Christian in the last 15 years than became Christians in the first 15 centuries of this world. In the last 15 years, more Muslims have become Christian than in 1,500 years. If current trends continue, Brazil will be half born again. The population of Brazil will be, half of them will be born again Christians. Bible thumping, screaming, on fire, born again Christians. Half the population of Brazil. The People's Republic of China in 2025 will be the most Christian nation on earth if they keep going the way they are now. China. Not America, China. What brings spiritual awakening? Desperation, being desperate. The people of Gideon's time, the verse said that they cried out to the Lord because of the Midians pushing on them and hurting them. And they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered and sent judges to help them. Have we prayed today? Have you prayed? Have I prayed today, yesterday, for spiritual renewal in their hearts? Lord, let me be on fire for you. Don't let me be mediocre, Lord. Let me be somebody in the kingdom. Let me do something. When I get to heaven, I want to see one person there says, "Dennis, I'm there because of you." One. That's what I want. One. And I say, "Thank God. I affected somebody. Thank God." But to go to heaven and not have one person there because of you, I couldn't stand it. I'd be ashamed. I'd ask God to put me in the back. I said, "Put me in the back. If nobody was there because of me, I'd be ashamed." What are we bringing to the table? What do you have that's on you that the Lord wants to bless and move in your life and touch your family and your neighbors and the people you work with. And do they even know that you're a Christian? I don't shove it down their throat. I don't. But when somebody says they're hurting, I say, let me pray for you. And you know, you just do it. I don't say, you got to go to Jesus. You got to become a Christian. I don't do that. I say, let me pray for you. What did Jesus do? He ministered to him. He prayed with him. He talked to him. That's what he did. What do we have to do to bless others? What do we have? What has God given us that we can bless others? There's something there. There's something in your basket that you can feed other people with. There is something. The Lord wants to use something that you have. He made each of us individually. Together we're the church. I'm not the church. You're not the church. We're the church together. We make the church. So there's something you got that the church needs and the body of Christ needs. But we have to use this thing and do this thing. We can't just become pew sitters. We can't be scared of the world. We can't be afraid of everything. We have to go and do this thing. We got to do it right. It just in my crawl, in my spirit, I feel the time short. And maybe it's just me. I don't have an exact word from the Lord. I don't. But time is just short. That's all I can feel is that time is short. And America has so much and we're so rich, but we're so poor. You go back to Tolstoy that America has forgotten God. We have. We have forgotten God. And it's a shame. It's just a shame. So as you go through your week, think about those things. When God's going to put somebody in your path, sure as shooting, he's going to put somebody in your path. And just talk Jesus to them. That's all. You don't have to shove it down their throat. You just tell them, you know, what it is and pray with them. And if somebody needs encouragement, listen to what they have to say. They're hurting. People are hurting. Listen to what they got to say. Walk through it with them and just sit there and go, okay, okay. And then you pray and then you give them Jesus. That's what you do. That's what you do. That's all you do. It's not extreme. It's not too much. So, Steve's going to give the invitation for the altar. But just remember in your prayers, too, to thank God for what he's done with John and other people in his church. Okay? And the kids can be happy because we get out early. So. And God bless Jeremiah the prophet.
Yeah, so here's the deal, guys. God's calling each and every one of us to rise, you courageous warrior. That's his word to every one of us. And, you know, because he's got fears for us to overcome. He's got battles for us to win. And, you know, it's scary. It is scary. It can be very scary. But I want you to know that he's with you the whole time. And he's calling you up, courageous warrior. And so I want to encourage you just to come up. If this kind of thing is tugging on your heart, if you feel like there's a call for you to get out, to do something, even just, you know, but it scares you, I want you to come up, get some encouragement. If you have any kind of need you at all, just come up, get some prayer. Some healing issues. There's someone here, right arm below the elbow, either bone or tissue. God wants to heal you today. There's also in the back a spine issue. From between your shoulder blades down to about the middle of your back, God wants to heal you today too. And, you know, it's painful when you sit through church. So if you have any of those, please come up. If any medical issues of any kind, you need some healing, get up here, please. You know, guys, don't take this lightly. You know, this, like Dennis was saying, prayer changes everything. I mean, take John, for example. It does. It changes everything. So don't take this lightly. Don't think that you just have to have a huge issue to come up here to get prayer. If you just want to come up and say, God, I miss you. God, I love you. You just want to give thanks, come on up. You know, God loves that kind of attitude that's willing to stand up before others and say, you know, God, I'm here for you. I'm all about you. So, guys, I just want to encourage you. If anything, just the altar's open.